Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Church. We exist to honor God through reaching our city and touching the world with the amazing love of Jesus Christ. Now, let's join Pastor Josh Shelton for this life-changing message.
I've spoken the past couple of times that I've been up here to speak. Of course, we've had some other guys here to speak also, but I've spoken on the fruit of the Spirit, and you know, I just felt like God just telling me to go through those and really, for myself, and then even maybe some people here needed to hear those again, and just give depth behind the fruit of the Spirit, you know. And it's something that we all kind of know, and we think, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I know Jesus, and I do good things, and I've got that all taken care of. But you know, many times, and like I'm saying, I'm preaching myself too, I find myself doing things that don't line up with the simple fruit of the Spirit, or leaning in that direction, you know, lacking in patience or what have you. I don't lean that way on my own. I need God, I need Jesus, I need the Holy Spirit to help me in those things. And if I'm not leaning on Him, if I'm not really connected to my Heavenly Father, then I'm going to struggle in these no matter what. You know, we can strive to do everything that we can, as much as we can on our own, but eventually, or, you know, I go long enough, I'm going to wear myself out trying to be all these things like He wants me to be. I'm going to have Him on my side. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Actually, I was looking up, just online, I looked up patience and, you know, what, you know, everything's on the web, right? So I was looking up patience, and there was actually a thing that was really good. And it was, it might have been like the E-How or something like that. But it gives you step-by-step list instructions to how to get patience. And while I said that those are good, I thought it was kind of funny, too, that it's like, you know what, I can just do this, this, and this, and all of a sudden, I'm going to have these fruit of the Spirit, you know? But they don't see it as that. They see it as just something that I can just attain on my own. It's just a good quality that I can have. But anyways, what they said was just look for patterns, you know? See what you're doing and look what you're not doing right and what you are doing right. And, you know, when you're losing your temper or when you're staying calm, and try to do the things that make you stay calm, and try to react the same way that, you know, when you're staying calm in those ways when something happens, which, great, awesome. They said to let it go, another good thing. You know, all these things really, if you take it down to the deep roots, these are principles that you can find all over the Bible, but they don't really realize that either. You know, these people that aren't connected to God, they don't know Christ, but they find these spiritual examples and principles and pull God out of them and try to use them on their own, but they don't have the same effect. Amen? It says, remind yourself that things take time. Great, that's awesome. Remember what matters. Have a positive outlook on life. Expect the unexpected and give yourself a break. And by that, they had two different things in there. It says, take time to do nothing and stop holding yourself and the world to unattainable standards. Which, these are awesome things. These are great. But like I said, I'm going to take probably most of my life trying to accomplish these things the way that they should be. And I'm constantly going to be frustrated because, you know what? I'm not bent that way on my own. I need God. And two, nobody else is. And three, there's lots of crazy stuff that goes on in this world that's going to constantly frustrate me. And it's going to take me. Look, you see these basically like, if you take like a monks, for example, and they seclude themselves away so they can receive this thing that they believe they're getting, enlightenment or whatever, but they have to go away from the world. They have to go away from everything that we're supposed to be a part of to attain peace or whatever they're trying to get. But my God wants me to be in and of the world, but have this complete peace and this joy, and these things that we've talked about are a fruit of the Spirit. I can attain those things. I can have those things and those things be such a great part of me and still be doing all the things that I've done before. I can be driving my car and people cutting me off. I can be going, you know, doing anything really, you know, doing stuff with my family and getting crazy, and which it does, we have four kids. But on my own, I can't do it. But with God and with the Holy Spirit, those things will be evident in my life, amen? I don't have to be taken away from my family or taken away from my car so that I can achieve peace like some monk. I just need to have God. Just reread this scripture, Galatians 5:22. It just says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, or long-suffering. It says in one translation, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And of course there's not. These are the things that everybody really tries to seek in their life. Patience and self-control, these joy, all these wonderful things that we try to have even without God, but we can't truly attain without Him. Amen. We've already looked at joy and peace. And so this morning, going into patience, I want to hopefully just kind of open up a couple of questions or maybe give some definitions and then try to figure out how can we attain that godly peace. There's a story of a young boy, and I don't know if this is actually a true story or if it's a story that somebody made up to describe patience or to have just a good story to tell in a service, but there's a young boy that comes to an older minister, and the story is that he comes to him and he says, please help me. He's like, help me to understand and to receive patience. Just pray for me that I will have patience. And the older man, he's like, okay, I'll do that. And they just pray with me. And he says, Father God, I just pray that this young man will receive lots of, lots of tribulations and issues in his life and things that will help him to learn. And the boy goes, whoa, wait a second. He's like, I want patience, not tribulations and things that are going to be bad in my life. And the older man said, but you don't understand. Through those things, those tribulations or those issues of life, that's how we become more patient. That's how we learn patience. And as I heard that story, I just thought, I mean, if you really think about it, how would I know that I have any patience if I don't encounter a situation like that? How would I know that I'm patient if I'm constantly getting what I want, when I want, as fast as I want? Because I wouldn't really have to be. I mean, I might say, oh yeah, I waited just long enough. What? How do you know? Because it was exactly when you wanted it. So we have to go through these certain things. There's certain things happen, and sometimes we question, why is this going on, or why is this taking so long? But you know what? It's not taking long to God. It's just we're trying to move too fast. And we need to understand God. We need to know Him and receive His patience, and we will understand that His things come in good time. Amen? Amen. What is patience? A couple of definitions of what patience can be, what patience are. Patience is self-restraint, which does not hastily retaliate against wrong. Think about that. Like I said, there's lots of stuff that happens in our life, and the tendency that we have is to immediately react and to think, what can I do to get them back? Or what can I do to nullify what they've done? And it's a hasty thought in my mind that is going to make me do something that I'm going to regret. Me doing something right away and reacting, because I'm always, my mind, going to react wrong. But if I sit back and if I have patience and just wait, then I know that the things that I've learned in the Bible, those things, if I sit and pray about it, that God will explain to me what's going on, and He'll explain to me how to get through it. Amen? So we can't be hasty. Also, patience is the ability to accept delay or disappointment graciously. Delay, any kind of delay. Look, we're in a fast-paced world right now. I mean, things have changed in the past 100 years that have moved things from basically 0 to 100 miles an hour. We're always wanting to go, 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 go. But I'm going to get disappointed every time that I'm trying to make things go in my time. If I'm trying to make things happen and not waiting for the appointed time and waiting for God, I'm going to be disappointed. Patience is a powerful attribute that enables a person to remain steadfast under strain and continue to press on. I'm gonna encounter strain in my life, and actually, you know, I've talked about this in a message before, that really those things, how do you, if I may take like working out as an example, how do I get my muscles to be bigger without encountering some kind of resistance or strain on them? Again, how would I know peace if I always get what I want in the right time? But I can acquire these things. I can gradually grow more peaceful as I understand how God is bringing things in due time and I have to wait for them. So the more that I wait for them, the more that I wait on God, the more peaceful and patient that I will be, because I've understood. I've gone through time after time knowing that as I wait on Him, as I'm patient, as I'm long-suffering, or I'm understanding who He is and that He will come through in His time. Patience is a calm endurance based on the knowledge that God is in control. Like I've said, God is in control, and He will come in His time, the time that He knows is best. There's been many situations in my life where I feel like I know what needs to happen, and I know when it needs to happen, but it doesn't. But as I've gone through, sometimes maybe even with a bad attitude, but sometimes waiting on God peacefully and patiently, but I know that when that comes time to happen, and I see the time and the hour, like this thing that I've been waiting for, and it's happened. I understand. God waited for a certain reason. Whether it's that I had to learn things or somebody else had to understand or learn something in order for that situation to be resolved. But God has a reason. We can't run on our time. We have to run on God's time. Amen? There's a story of a person who was an artist that went to visit a friend, an old friend, and whenever this artist got to wherever the friend was, that the friend was crying and just distraught, and the friend had this, I guess it was a handkerchief or a scarf or something, and it was so valuable to that person, and they received this from somebody, and it was just so valuable, but somehow it had gotten a stain on it, this big mark on this handkerchief, and so this artist came, and it's like, what's wrong? And the person said, this is so valuable to me, and now it's stained, it's ruined, and I just don't know what to do, I'm distraught. And the artist said, well, let me take that with me, and I'll send it back to you. Why don't you let me do that? And so a couple days later, this person received back this handkerchief, and the artist had taken that spot and actually drawn like an amazing detailed picture, a beautiful picture around this spot that really incorporated it into this whole picture. And all of a sudden, this blemished scarf turned into a beautiful scarf with this amazing picture on it. And as I heard that story, I thought, how many times do we think this thing that's happening in my life and that I can't wait for it to be over. God, you have to take this away from me. This is too much. I can't handle it, or something's happened in my past and that blemish or that spot is going to scar my life. People are just going to see this. And he says, well, let me just take that for you. And I can take that, God can, and take out of that scar or that blemish and make a beautiful picture. You understand that it's not going away, but he's taken that thing in you. Maybe it was a hardship or something that happened, and he can use it to make some beautiful things out of you. Amen? But I have to understand and be patient and let him work and let him turn things to good. The biblical definition of patience is actually a couple of different ways that it's defined, and one is long-suffering and one is perseverance. Now think about that, long-suffering. You know, patience, you know, we just think about today, like if I thought, what do I think patience is? And most of the time we think, you know, it's just, can I wait for a little while? Can I wait for something? But really there's a much deeper definition, that long-suffering. I mean, it has suffering in the word, you know? I mean, can I wait long enough to see a good result in my suffering? Perseverance. Perseverance means, like, I'm going to walk forward through these circumstances. I'm not going to sit back and just wait, okay? Patience, we always think of just like, I'm going to just sit back and wait. But I see it as getting through suffering, maybe even if it's a long time, or perseverance, meaning actually going forward. And when I'm going forward, not stopping, I'm persevering even longer than somebody else may think that I can. I'm persevering. In other words, we need to accept difficult situations without giving God deadlines. Hebrews 6, 11 through 15, it says, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence. All right, I had to make sure I got the same translation. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit their promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater name, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. It didn't just happen in an instant for Abraham. And really, throughout the Bible, we see that it doesn't happen in an instant for really anybody. But if we can patiently endure, we can obtain the promises of God. It's difficult to develop patience. As desirable as patience might be, it's a fruit of the Spirit. I want to acquire those things as to the utmost of my ability and as much as God can give me. But it's difficult. Like I said before, there's so many things going on around me. There's a couple of things I want to say about it being hard. It goes against human nature. We're not born patient. I've got 4 kids. I know this. When my kids were babies and they were hungry, whether they were a month old or 6 months old or a year old, they were not patient. They were hungry. They didn't say, hey, Dad, I'm hungry, but you know what? I can wait an hour. You know, it's the middle of the night, so I'm actually not going to cry as a 6-month-old. I'm going to wait till the morning. I'm going to be patient. No, babies are not born patient. You get older. 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds. I've taken car trips with my kids. A lot of you have too. You know, I mean, everybody knows the saying, are we there yet? And that's not coming from the person driving, the dad or the mom. Well, sometimes it comes from the mom, but what? Just kidding. There's a little joke for you. But the kids are sitting in the back seat, and you get like 30 minutes, an hour down the road on a 12-hour car trip. Are we there yet? You know what? You could go to sleep and wake up in the morning, and we probably still wouldn't be there yet. So why don't you go ahead and go to sleep? We're not going to be there anytime soon, you know? That's, I mean, you're like, and then 30 minutes later, are we there yet? You heard me whenever I said it was going to be like 12 more hours, right? But they're not born patient, and we have to learn patience, right? In my body, everything that I am, I didn't come with patience. I had to acquire that. And especially as an adult, I have to get some of that from God because I can't sustain it. I'm a calm person, but I'm not necessarily the most patient person. And don't give me those looks, Tori. Come on now. When we're in a car driving, and I won't ask, are we there yet? But I'll probably be driving 90 miles an hour trying to get there because I just want to get there fast, right? You know, or, you know, let's see some of those things. I mean, order something, and it's coming in the mail, and you're like, that was supposed to come in like 2 days, right? And it's come, you know, it's like later on the second day, and I'm like, what are you? I'm not the most patient person, but you know what? I've learned it over the years, and I continually have to get that from God. Developing patience is difficult because we have to deal with pride, selfishness, and anger also. It's kind of crazy that the things that are these good things, the fruit of the Spirit, and I'll explain this in just a second, we have to work so hard for, within this selfishness and pride and anger, it comes so easily. I hate that. I mean, does anybody else? I mean, I can't imagine anybody likes that. But why is that? Well, you know what? God didn't create us that way. But when Adam, in the Garden of Eden, he took that bite of that apple and went against what God had told him to, all of a sudden, after that, we're born into sin. We're born into a negative world. We're born with these negative tendencies. And through Christ, we're washed clean. And through Christ, we're made whole again. And through Christ, we can receive all these things to His ability, to His patience, have His joy, His love. Amen? But I hate it that it comes so easy doing those things that we shouldn't do. And so hard. I'm not saying it's super hard, but, you know, we have a tendency not to be happy. Not to have patience. Thirdly, it's difficult to develop patience because it's contrary to our culture. Look, let me just go through one of 100 different examples. Fast food, microwave dinners. There's actually I think it's a Calvin and Hobbes where it's a cartoon where the dad's like, you know, in my day we used to sit down and, you know, eat a dinner and we weren't always in a rush. And then the little boy comes through and he's like got a microwave dinner and he's like, 6 minutes? Who's got that long? You know, but that's the mentality. That's the mentality that we all have. I don't have that long. I've got to make dinner in 5 minutes. I've got to, you know, drive here so fast so I can make this meeting, and this meeting's got to be so fast so I can get to this other thing, and then I got to have my cell phone so I can read all my emails on the way, and then, you know, and do this and that and all these things. And we say, even like, how did they make it back in the day? And I'll say, they probably were a lot better off than we were. You know? I mean, when you had to hook up your horse to your carriage and then go for hours to get to where you're going, to your, you know, parents' house or what have you, and you didn't have a phone to call them ahead of time, you know? But I bet you they didn't have the level of stress we did. They sat back and relaxed more. Not that they didn't have their issues, but we have a whole slew of problems just because we're in such a hurry. But we need to have patience. Also, it's difficult to develop patience because we've convinced ourselves that impatience is a virtue. Now, they say patience is a virtue, and we say that, but why do we have to say that? Because it seems like so many times these personalities, they're getting things done so super fast, and not that we shouldn't get things done, but that somebody that can do somebody do a task faster is better. You know, not necessarily even at the same quality. Maybe it's lower quality, but it's faster. So that is that's the virtue. You know, it's impatience. If it can get on faster, it doesn't matter if it's better. It's just faster. So it's good. But we've convinced ourselves against the fact that patience is a great quality. That if you want to just wait for the thing to happen in a good time, that you're just crazy. You're slacking off. Again, I'm not condoning slacking off or not doing things in a good time. But we have to understand the right timing of things, whether that's with God or with those things that we're supposed to do in our work, with our family. Understand the right time. Proverbs 14:29 says, "Whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly." And like I said before, a quick-tempered person, if I'm quick-tempered, I'll display folly because I'll say, I'm sure, things that I will regret later. And that's what that means. I'll get down the road and say, man, I wish I would have waited and thought about that before I said it. Proverbs 15:18 says, "A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel." I've seen this so many times, and either with my kids, the two of them, or even with myself. I was actually telling Tori just the other day that with my kids, like, I've noticed that, again, it's so easy to be short-tempered with your kids if they're, you know, doing something they're not supposed to, or they're just kind of doing that thing that kids do where they like over and over come and ask you something and nag you, or they did this to me and they did this to me. You already told me like 5 times and I'm dealing with it. I know, and then they did this to me and this. And you're like, my tendency myself would be to be like, I know, and just like start going off. But I've realized that as the more short-tempered I get with them, the worse the situation gets. And the other day, I was like doing something, and I just, with my daughter, she was being a little bit fussy, and something had happened to her, and one of my other kids had accidentally hit her, and she was like, ah, and I told her, no, you need to stop it, and she was like, ah, and she started to go off, and all of a sudden I said, hey, just come here, and I just sat her next to me, and I do this thing with her, because like, she can't ever resist it. I don't know why some other kids can resist it, but, and she's got, you know, this face that like, she frowns so hard that you don't ever think that she could smile again, you know, and she's like, like this. And I said, you better not smile. Like, don't you dare. Don't you dare smile. Has anybody ever done that to their kids? Like, no, just don't do it. And all of a sudden, she's just like, and she covers her face because she knows she's going to smile, you know. But me just relaxing, instead of being short-tempered and saying, you need to stop it, you know, stop acting that way, and you're just throwing a fit. I was just like, come here, baby. And I sat down with her and just had a little fun with her and was just being patient because I knew this was just a time that she had to get past. And really, if I was short-tempered, it would take her even longer to get past it. So how do we develop patience? First of all, of course, we have to abide in Christ. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Christ is the vine. I'm a branch off of off of this vine. And I need to bear fruit, this fruit of the Spirit and all these different things that God has told me. These are the things that should show in your life. But those things are not going to show if my branch is not connected to the vine, to Jesus. First and foremost, we have to be connected with Him in every way possible. We need to be spending time with God, reading His Word. He's told us so many things in His Word that if we read and we study and we get that into us, so many of these things will start coming natural to us. We'll know the decision. Like, you know, sometimes we feel like we have to just spend this time in asking God to do this, this, and this, but we haven't spent time in the Word learning. And I think sometimes He says, you know what, I've told you so many things in my Word that you would just know if you had read my Word. You would just know it. You wouldn't have to come to me and ask over and over, what, you know, God, do this. How am I supposed to handle this? What a... He's told us. He's given us so many of the answers in His Word. And spend time with Him. We have to be connected to the vine. Amen. We have to slow down. Now that seems pretty simple, but it's not these days, like I've talked about. Just slowing down. Even whenever we pray sometimes, we want the answer right away. God, why didn't you answer me? Why didn't this come whenever I ask? God, I ask you to take care of the situation. But we have to slow down. And realize that us slowing down isn't going slow necessarily. Just getting on God's time. Because God is never slow. He doesn't ever show up late. He shows up on time. Amen? We need to overlook some of the little frustrations in life. So many times we can have these little things happen. Let's say throughout my week, I have a bunch of different little things that really don't add up to anything of themselves. But if I add them together, all of a sudden at the end of the week, I'm just overwhelmed with stress and worry and all these different things. But it's because I've let these little things just sit there. Hey, look, if I got a little rock, I can put one of those on my shoulder, but if I put 100 on my shoulder, all of a sudden I've got weight that I can't carry. And what I'm saying is these little things, they don't matter anyways. Sometimes these little things, we just need to, let's say, forgive somebody and say, it's no big deal, and just move on. You know, holding somebody accountable for some little thing that they did anyways is not going to accomplish anything. It's another message, but actually it's going to hinder God most of the time from actually dealing with them if we're holding them accountable. If I'm trying to be the judge, I'm kind of putting myself in place of God as the judge. Like I said, that's another message. What about the big things? A lot of times there are big things. Things that aren't just one little thing, but something huge that I maybe can't handle. What do I do when that stuff comes along? Maybe it's a big sickness. Going to the doctor, and the doctor said, you've got such and such, and it's going to be a tough road and a tough thing to happen. It's a death in the family, maybe. The Bible actually says that there's things that we just can't handle and that we'll never be able to handle without the Lord's help. I want to look in the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, chapter 14. Now before this, the children of Israel, the Israelites, they've come out of Egypt and they're running away from Pharaoh and his armies and they're running and going through the desert. They get to a body of water that they can't pass. And they say, What are we going to do? They turn around to Moses. They say, Egypt, it had plenty of graves. It's, you know, there was plenty of ways for us to die there. Why did you have to bring us here to die? And Moses says, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord. Deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Now in verse 14, such an important verse, such a key to this scripture. Moses says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. You need only to be still. Now think about this, if you will, with me. You have the Israelites there. What if the Israelites weren't still? What if they took off running along the bank, trying to find another way? What would have happened? And now I think of my life or our lives, and what do? We get to the bank of that river and we see it in front of us, and I say, what am I going to do? I've gone to this place and I don't know how to cross. And God says, just be still and let me help you. And I say, I just need to find another way. And I take off down the river. And I've actually not allowed God to help me because I'm trying to help myself, because I'm trying to find another way. But here in Exodus, what happened? God parted the waters and they walked through. The waters came back down and killed all the people that were following them, because they were still. He says, all you need to do, is what Moses said, is be still. I want to look at Jesus just a little bit, because of course Jesus is the perfect example of peace. In Matthew 26, we see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he goes up on this hill and he takes a few of his guys with him and he says, hey, why don't you wait here and I'm going to go over here and pray. So just wait with me. In Matthew 26:38, it says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. In Luke 22:44, talking about the, it says, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Now in this story, what you see is you see him going off and praying and coming back, and they had fallen asleep. These guys that couldn't wait, and that's what he says. He comes out, now could you not just stay here and pray for me? Did you have to fall asleep? And he comes back like three times. And now think about this. He's praying, and he's under so much stress, he has these drops of blood, and still, they lack patience. But what was he giving them? Patience. It's like so many times we want to retaliate because somebody's not giving me that patience or that kindness or what have you. But we see in every time in Jesus, no matter what they give the person, he's giving them kindness or he's giving them patience. He's trying to show them, no matter what happens, I can have patience or have joy, kindness. There was a lady, Evelyn Christensen, that wrote, she was, a cardiologist. She says, I wept as a cardiologist. She wasn't. A cardiologist described Jesus, drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was betrayed and arrested. Medical science reports that only when humans are under rare and extremely grave stress do the blood vessels break and mix with the sweat in our sweat glands. I grieved at how Jesus' disciples could sleep when he kept appearing to them with his forehead bloodied. And since the skin becomes so sensitive when it sweats blood, that touching it is almost intolerable. I cringed at how my Jesus could stand to have that crown of thorns thrust on his tender brow, wearing it for us, and the scourging and the mocking and the spitting just for us. He was under so much stress. Like, think about this. I've never even seen this because it's that much stress. So much stress that it is possible that somebody could sweat blood. They said, but you have to be under so much stress that your body basically can barely handle it. And that's what happened in that garden, because Jesus knew what was supposed to happen, that he was supposed to die on the cross, and he was coming before God and praying. And so he comes back a couple of times, sweating blood, but every time showing nothing but patience with his disciples that keep falling asleep. Let's look at another scripture, 2 Peter 3:9. It says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Now, sometimes we think God is slow, but in this, just like it says in this scripture, he's not slow as we understand slow. But what he's doing is he is being patient, because he wants everyone to come into right relationship with him. He wants everybody to have this fruit of the Spirit, everybody to have the chance to get to know him. He's not slow to coming. He's just being patient. Yeah. And as Jesus showed us, and as God, of course, is, can we be patient? Can we take this life that we've been given that really is offering up anything but patience and turn back and just have that God-given, that spirit of patience that we receive from him? Can I seek after him enough and know him well enough that no matter what happens, I will have that long-suffering or perseverance to go through any trial, any circumstance? And it's not all going to be hardship, but we're always in a hurry, and we should in turn just have patience and relax and rest on him and his promises, and that he's going to help us and that he's going to come on our behalf. Amen?
Thank you for being part of the teaching ministry of Life Church. Our hope is that you take this message and apply it to your life in a practical way. If you would like more information about this ministry and you are in the St. Louis area, call us at 314-843-5575. If you are outside the St. Louis area, call us toll-free at 1-800-610-LIFE. If you would like to write us, our address is 1416 Larkin Williams Road, Fenton, Missouri, 63026. Or visit us at our website at lifechurch-stl.com.